So I'll start with just one of my poems here that'll be my how I will fall off the cliff. I looked out into the emptiness. It seemed so complex and serious. I forgot about myself. What's all this fuss about? Trying to rationalize the unfathomable, yet relaxing in some deep place. I fell apart only to reveal a shining Buddha with nothing left but a big heart in this complex world. Spirit world, always, always close at hand. A world where honoring the unseen, bringing reverence and humility to the forefront. Dropping everything, one venture at a time, into this world of the senses. Where eyes see through the surface of things, where eyes see through the surface of things. Sounds, little blips on the surface of the universal hum. Desperately and hopelessly trying to figure it all out. Yes, my friend, we have come to the end of the world. Now, spirit and world are one. Relaxed with sensitivity, we adventure out in this wide, wide world, free from a solid idea of who we are or how things are and what we supposedly know. Yes, a great mystery unfolding, giving us a heart for all things known and unknown. So, there were three things I wanted to explore tonight. And one is simply the reality that these practices are based on openness. You know, that's really the fundamentals here. Openness, spaciousness, and trust. Yeah, really, these are profound truths that are all kind of the how the practice actually works, you know. And our first really, objective here is this word openness, you know. And actually by sitting. First of all, of course, the complexity of all that garbage you got going on up in your head, you know? And it's really, you know, I wonder sometimes, is it really about anything? Or is it just we're always trying to manipulate, you know, our world so somehow we'll be okay or we'll be happy or something. So we're manipulating all the time. And really, from the practice's point of view, at some point you have to just say, you know what? I have to step back from that, from the manipulation of trying, you know, and see that there is already of ability to actually have some space, you know, and say, oh, really, the fundamentals here are really simple. You know, are you causing yourself more suffering? You know, I guess that's a big question, you know. Or is it maybe this possibility of, can I, in a sense, kind of let everything, in a sense, is kind of letting everything kind of settle on its own, you know. So I'm not actually interfering with things. You know, in so much of this practice, you know, I think sometimes there's a whole art in directedness, you know. But from where I sit, I've been doing this over 50 years, you know. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's okay, you know. But I'm saying, oh yes, and for at the beginning, and many of you are still involved in this, there has to be a directedness. You know, why? Because you're trying so hard to manipulate your world, you know. And this is saying, oh no, you know what? We don't have to manipulate our world, you know. We can actually kind of sit in the center of our world and do what we need to do without trying to manipulate it, you know, but actually responding, you know, the whole thing of we're such reactive creatures, of actually not reacting anymore, saying, oh no, what is openness about? Oh, it's actually being able to respond to life's teachings that are coming. They're coming over and over to you. And one of the funny things is, of course, if you don't get it, guess what? It comes back. Maybe a new name or something with it, you know? But it comes back, you know? And so, in a sense, we're trying to kind of teach ourselves through these very simple practices of, like, just shut up, sit down, and don't try to manipulate the things, and see that there is already this incredible world that's happening around me, not by me, okay? Around me, not by me. And this is a big difference, you know? So, and it's really the fundamentals of how this works in some ways, you know? And I know it's also, there's the part about it that's simply the discipline of trying to get off it, you know, if that makes sense to you, you know, off the manipulation part. You know, it's okay, I'm going to step off of it. Well, how do I step off of it? Well, first I can use, in a sense, oh, I can use this to kind of touch into what's already there. What's already there? So what's the Buddha first, what's his first teaching? Oh, I'm in a body. And there is a process, the most obvious process is that the body is breathing, or the breath is breathing me, if you want to actually put it that way. And so we begin and say, okay, we're going to go from all the, you know, the our connection with the past and the future, and we're going to see if we can't just be with this simple process. And if we can actually sit with that, you know, we're not adding anything. This is already something that has been occurring ever since you were born. You know, we all have the simple truth that we breathe. Okay, so this becomes an objective. To what? To stay, you know. Unfortunately, you know, being manipulators, first, I have to tell you that you cannot change the past. You know this? You know, I know you've all tried. But the truth is, you cannot change the past. You know, it's not that you can't learn from it, but you cannot change it. So there's a way of okay, so what is this openness? Oh, I can kind of accept that oh yeah, and you probably screwed up too, I suspect. You know, so it's okay. You know, you're here now. And you've actually changed, in a sense, your object from being the past and trying to, you know, figure it out, do whatever. We do all sorts of things with it. But the idea here is, oh no, I'm here, I'm just going to be open to what it is that's occurring now. You know, I'm going to let the past go. You know, I'm afraid. So I'm going to control the future. Have you tried this one? You know, it's also known as planning. You know, and we get really good at it, you know, and I think as human beings, it is one of the powers that human, you know, maybe you see the turkeys running around. They don't really play with this, you know, we do, you know, and we kind of, the next thing you know, we're kind of organizing the future, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we have to actually, because we have the capability, is we can make a template of the future. It doesn't take so much, you know. But what do we have to do is we suddenly, the next thing you know, we're kind of decided, okay, we're actually addictive creatures. So what do? We addict ourselves to the planning of the future. And we start filling things in, you know, like, oh, I know how this will work and all that. And then next thing you know, here, what's here has left you completely. You are simply leaning into the future and trying somehow to hold or manipulate it in a way that is causing suffering. You ever heard of this word? You know? And so we're saying, oh, no, no, come on. Let's just get back to the most basic state here. What is the basic state? Oh, I'm just here in my body, and I can relax. I can notice there's a process that is doing me called breathing. There's also the fact that, yes, I am attracted to control. But if I can see it, if I can see it, I just go, oh, I can feel myself leaning into the future. I can feel that. Oh, you know, that's not here. You know, that's leaning. And that leaning, then somehow we start living our life in the leaning and not here, you know. And by the way, there's a tremendous amount of suffering in that. Actually, if you just start realizing that here, you know, it's already complete, you know. You breathe, you know, yeah, there are thoughts that go through. Okay, that's cool. There are different feelings we have due to conditions, you know. What do we do with those? Well, they arise and are known by us in our bodies, you know. Oh, I'm sad today. Okay, so you're sad today. So can you feel through that? You know, you don't have to get rid of it. You can simply feel through it, you know. It's the way all of this works, you know. And we stay kind of this whole, you know, somehow this ideal of manipulating everything around us, you know. I will say, it works in a little bit, you know. So you do plan a little, and it's okay. Planning a lot is not here. You know, all you need is a template, because you're kind of sitting in this, you know, this is such a mystery. You know that, don't you? You know, and you can make your world pretty small. You know, you walk around in this little box with these five senses and this, you know, thing called thought, and limit yourself, you know. And here we come to these practices not to limit ourselves, but actually to, in some sense, to take and open or widen, so that suddenly it's not about me, it's not about how it's working. It's actually, how is this mystery unfolding, you know? And can I be open to a lot more than just my confined world of my senses, my thoughts, my memories, my plans? Can I actually notice more than that? Is that possible, you know? Or is that all I am? And I'm not answering this, because I think the practice actually answers it for you. You know, you just go, oh, okay, if I'm here and I really stay for a while, then I begin to recognize that things are complete as they are, you know? Oh, they're already complete. So what am I doing with it? You know, oh, I'm trying to make sure that I'm safe and I have it down and I'm better, you know? And I'm saying, oh no, it's already better. You know, it's already complete, you know. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's okay. I don't really want to make sense, you know. What I want to do is keep you exploring, you know, that, oh, you know, don't think there's only one thing happening. This is a complex, incredibly, you know, we have these senses. And the senses actually can be, in a sense, we can either take them as messages to get small, which is not what I'm talking about, you know, because that then it's about control and it's about, what's it based on? What's the bottom emotion here? You're afraid. You're scaredy cats. You know, I don't care who you are. It's human nature is we're scaredy cats. And so we have to, in a sense, kind of have a way to counterbalance that, you know? And here, these practices, oh, I can sit here, and if I'm just here, and I am already complete as I am, then there's a natural sense of relaxing. Oh, so I can actually be open. You know, oh, it's okay. So this is kind of a mysterious kind of place I live in. I have this mysterious life. And my nature is to shut it down, confine it, control it, or dredge up the past or something. That's kind of my nature. So I have to find something to counterbalance it. And that's what we're doing here. We're counterbalancing it, you know, and saying, oh, you know, can I actually, instead of getting smaller, that I'm actually going to, every moment, you know, your sense is that you're going to try to shut it down and control it. The practice here is actually, in some senses, counterintuitive, because you actually have to train yourself to do the opposite. You know, oh, can I simply, you know, it appears a certain way, so I'm going to shut it down and control it, make it the way I want it to be. Okay? And this is saying, oh, that's your conditioning. That's your conditioning. And we're saying, oh, no, we're going to counter that conditioning. And we're going to say, oh, actually what I need to be trained in is to keep opening. My nature is to keep shutting it down and controlling it. And this is all about, can I keep opening it? And so I encourage you to, you know, to see if you can't train yourself in a sense a little differently, you know? And it's not, this is not complex. You know, this is really from an internal place saying, okay, I see what I do, and I actually can begin to, you know, first of all, you have to realize a few things. Number one, when I started the sitting, I talked about the earth and that there is a sense of enoughness or safety that's already available in as we kind of inhabit the body and kind of feel it and know it, that it's here, you know? And then you're okay, you know? You're here, you know? And then there's a feeling of safety. And then if there's a feeling of safety, then instead of control or contracting, then the training is, no, I'm going to, oh, okay, if I feel, you, and I understand, you have to feel safe. You know, that's kind of a prerequisite, you know. But if you're, you know, here's the thing. If you're in your body and you're connecting to how this is working, which may be just the breath or it just may be, you know, the pulsating or it may be just the vibration of your senses, you know, oh, so I'm going to be inhabiting not just, you know, culturally, we're kind of, you know, energetics, and it really has to do with control and fear. Everything goes up, right? Everything here is to be trained to go down. To go down and kind of feel what's here. And the first recognition is that sense of, I'm okay, I'm safe, it's all right. You know, and I'm not saying it'll always be like that, but to train yourself. Which is opposite, because traditionally this culture has go up and then somehow we try to figure out how to outthink this. It's not going to work, you know? You're not going to outthink this, by the way. But you are going to find that there is a sense of kind of openness that is possible, you know? And instead of confining, you're opening. Now, the second part of this I want to talk about is, I said I'd talk about these three things. Openness, which is fairly complex in some ways, but it's simple. You know, it's just, I'm here, I feel safe, I can simply do that, you know. And then the second piece is spacious, you know. And spaciousness, First of all, the nature of your mind is only based on one thing. You know, it's based on subject-object. So it is constantly connecting with objects. So you sit here and you look at me, you see me as a person, so, you know, oh, that's John. And my attention goes to that. So we're going to do another training here. So we talked about opening. So here's another training. Is that, what's the space between you and me? What is that? You know. So suddenly we've taken, because the training has always been about the sound, the smell, the taste. It's about the object and the sense or the knowing of it. You know, so there's always this dualism that's going on. And I'm saying, oh no, it's actually more than that. You know, is that if you can take and begin to train, just as you begin to train in the sense of if you're actually here, you're not caught in the past or future, that you also can become aware of the space which everything happens in. Wonder if there was no space. This would be pretty jammed up place, you know? And yet, all of our attention goes to the objects, all the objects. And actually, these practices, just like it is about, oh, can I change and kind of look at things more as a kind of mystery and kind of openness, I can also begin to change, instead of this object relationship where I'm just jumping to an object, that I'm suddenly starting to know the space between things, okay? The space between things. And there is a great relief in that, because what happens is, instead of the senses and the mind going to an object, it suddenly is more aware of the space that the objects exist in. Well, when you don't go to the object, then suddenly there's the relationship of space is, oh, you mean we're all related. This is all, you know, I'm not a separate thing here. I'm part of everything else, because the space is holding all of this. You know, you follow me? You know? And so this is another piece of the training. It's learning about how instead of, and we've all trained, just like we've been trained to go up in our heads about everything and not kind of feel safe and hold everything, we also can do this, you know. And you can actually begin this very fundamental piece, you know. And it may sound like not much, but this is a huge piece of training. You know, it's like, oh, one is like, instead of kind of closing down and kind of protecting, I open. Then I begin to recognize that the nature of my mind is it wants to go to the objects. And I say, oh no, how about the space that the objects are in? You know, and then suddenly, you know, everything suddenly gets big. You know, it goes back to this thing about mystery. Oh, so suddenly, you know, it's not confined. It's, you know, oh, wow. This is more than I thought. You know, so play with this. This is another thing that that I find really helpful, you know, because space is not, you know, it is an awareness. It's not the things themselves. The things inhabit space. If there was no space, you know, it would be pretty jammed, as I said, you know. And this is, okay, I'm going to use it in some way. Again, these are mind trainings, or you can say mind-heart trainings, that suddenly you're switching from, you know, in a sense of kind of openness to spaciousness. Try it. It's actually great, because you're no longer, then it's not, you're not stuck in this dualistic world. You're actually in more a spacious set of I don't know if follow me, it's good. If you don't, it's good also. I'm okay with it, you know. But why? Because you live in this, you know, and you're actually already. But becoming, this is part of the thing, is becoming aware of different aspects of it, you know. So the last piece, I don't know what I'm going to do, but there's this piece called trust. You know, and in some ways in our culture, there is, the Buddha talked about it as there's blind trust, you know, which is not what he was talking about, you know. He had the language of verified, you know. So once you kind of understand this whole thing around being open and openness and how, you know, you kind of get off your old story, and you aren't trying to control or manipulate your future, but you're more present with what's going on. And that you begin to recognize that that this dualistic relationship between, it really is self and other, suddenly has expanded due to the awareness of recognition of the spaciousness of things. And then this trust that the Buddha was actually pointing at was something he just simply called verified. And fundamentally, what is it that trust has to have? You know, what is it has to have? You have to feel safe, right? And so there's a whole, and I think sometimes in the primal training here, is this thing of get out of your head. You know, it's really sort of like we're cut off right here because all the energy goes up. And here you're going down, so you're actually kind of grounded. You heard about that? You're kind of grounded. And then you have this sense of trust. You know, oh, I'm okay. You know, it doesn't have to be different. Even when it's not great, you know, it doesn't have to be different. And that is really the fundamentals here, is getting the kind of sense that, you know, I love this language that somehow, just the way you are, you're enough. You know, there is something about the Western culture about somehow that, you know, you go to the gym, you're supposed to, you know, get more education, you're supposed to be better. Okay, so there, which is okay, but it's been carried to such an extreme, you know. That being better, in some ways, is almost a violence towards yourself. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you know, can I begin to recognize that, you know, I am complete the way I am. You know, it's incredibly, you know, there's a great happiness that when you realize that, you know, you ended up here complete, you know. You didn't have to add anything, you know. And that there's that sense of enoughness, you know. I'm enough just the way I am with my warts and, you know, all this, you know, you all have terrible histories, I know. And, you know, it's like you've been carrying these things and you think somehow, you're gonna, yeah. I don't know if you're even gonna resolve them, you know, but you will teach yourself to let go of them, you know, and if you don't, you will just suffer more, you know. So you will teach yourself that. I kind of trust you will do that, but then the other part of this is, what is this about being enough? You know, wow. You mean I don't have to be somebody else? I could really be myself. And that was good enough? Oh my goodness. You know, what a concept, you know, to be myself and not have to somehow prove that I was better, different, more. You know, how would that be? You know? And what would it feel like to say, okay, you know, I can really learn this trust to love who I am, you know. And I think it's such a radical thing to say, Oh, can I learn to love myself? You know, I don't have to be somebody else. And yet, you know, kind of the culture teaches that somehow, you know, more, better, you know, even different, you know. But this is saying, no, no, that's not so. If you're going to learn to kind of stay kind of open to the mystery of things, and you're going to kind of recognize that there's a way, instead of getting small, that you can always open to the kind of wider reality of things, the space that it's created in, and that you can trust who you are. You know, then that's good. You know, I like that. You know, and then you won't cause trouble. That's what I know. See, if you really listen, then you're not going to cause trouble. You know, why would you cause trouble then? Because, oh, I'm enough. I don't have to be somebody else. So what happens with that trust? You know, oh, you mean I'm worthy of my own love? That's radical. I can love someone else. Have you noticed it doesn't really work out real well? You know, because a lot of times when we love someone else, we think somehow we abandon ourselves for someone else. I'm sure you haven't done any of this, but, you know, that's one of the dangers of it, is you abandon yourself for someone else, you know. And this is saying, no, actually, I'm going to learn to love myself. It does not mean that you separate out. It means you have the power then to include, you know. And then you begin to include. And it's different, you know, because there is that sense that I'm enough, you know, you're actually enough just the way you are. And that I can, if I learn to love myself enough, then I'm not going to harm you. I will learn to include you in part of my world and the mystery that my world holds, you know. So those are the three things, you know. I was going to say, oh, should I tell stories? I got stories, you know, so many stories. It's kind of, I'm kind of over the stories somehow, you know. No, not that, because I think a lot of times examples are great through stories. But I'm more interested in, can you learn these things, you know? Can you actually learn, okay, how do I shut down? How do I change that? How do I open up? And how do I create, instead of the kind of the subject-object, the dualism of myself and other, that I somehow don't do that? I go, no, I'm not going to hold that anymore. You know, that's always been, in some ways, the control mechanism there. You know. And so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to actually kind of just keep counteracting it, you know. And then I have to bring my attention down, you know. I come down, I kind of own my body, I own Earth here, you know. I love the fact that Earth, it just doesn't care about your past at all. You know, it doesn't even care about your future. All it cares about is that it holds you. You know, that's all. So it holds you. So, and I'm not saying, because I understand, you know, that the earth is also, it is like everything. Everything is part of this kind of living, moving process. You know, I always tell this story, you know, being in, I was teaching in Yucca Valley in the 90s when they had a big earthquake there. In Yucca Valley, and you know, it's one of those things that's kind of, I was thinking about today. Oh no, I won't go there. Okay, forget it. Anyway, but what sticks in your mind, you know, when something happens? And in this case, it was I was standing up on a ridge in this Institute of Mental Physics, and seeing the earthquake come, and the earth, you know, it rolled. It was, you know, it was like a wave. And when it hit all the transformers of the town and it just blew, it was like, wow, you know. So it's also you know, there's nothing solid here. But there's also, because the body, by the way, I guess if you go into space, well, I'm not so sure, we won't go there. But you're always connected on some level, you know. And you can say, oh, it's just through my body. But also, you're probably always connected to Earth on some level. You know, I don't know on airplanes and all that stuff, but I do believe that, you know, you're still somehow, body is Earth. And Earth is stable. And you can actually, even though, as I said, you know, it's also in process, but you can learn to trust it, you know. Why? Because it holds you either way, you know. No matter what you do, it's not judging you or caring in any way. So it is, in a sense, something that can become some of your safety factor. No. Okay? So I'll let you ask some questions, but well, I don't know where I'll go. But not for too long, you know. That's all. And I will close a little with a little metta. But and I don't want to go very past nine. I know that's not, you know, I know how your life is. So, do you have any questions about reality or? You know, of how this all came about. You know, by the way, the Buddha, he never answered those questions, you know. That was part of the four unthinkables, was the origin of the universe. You know, why? It's all speculation. You know, he's saying, well, what is it that matters here? You know, so. Anybody have any questions? Please, okay, here's a question. Joshua? Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, see, I remember. That's very rare.
I'm just curious as to what the other three unthinkables are now.
Well, one is the nature of a Buddha, that we cannot conceive the mind of a Buddha. It's beyond our conceptual. We can't know the origin of the universe. We also can't know, like, you're here tonight, and if you tried to go back, he talked about it as karma. You can't know all the pieces that brought you here tonight. You know, they're too complex. And he said, if you tried, it would unhinge your mind. You know, I like that, unhinge the mind. So you can't know the origins of it. You know, and also you can't know some of the most the jhanas, the deep absorptions. You can only experience them. You can't know them without intellectually, without experiencing them. Is that those are the four? Got it? Okay. Well, here, just wait for the microphone there, since I will probably only hear part of it.
I wonder if you could talk about the relationship or the difference between openness and spaciousness.
Well, openness, there isn't so much difference. And actually with trust, they're all three. I mean, I would say if there was something here, is they're all pieces of the heart, okay? Openness, spaciousness, and trust. They're all nature of the heart. So the difference between openness, which has in it, what it has a kind of a curiosity, you know. I'm breathing. What is it like to be here right now? What's it feel like to be here? And how am I going to hold it? That to me is openness. Spaciousness is actually, we can say from the senses, is how we confine our world to this and that, or you and me, or us and them. These are all things that separate. And when you add spaciousness, you break down the separateness. And that's really the heart of it, is if you can break down the separateness, then there is this possibility of trust, you know. But you have to break down the spacious, the separateness, you know, because we're so, you know, caught in that identity right. process. Right. Okay, is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. No, I don't know. I just piddle with these things, you know. But
I guess my question is, I could relate. I saw in myself how I'm not feeling safe, and. Mm-hmm. And I think it sort of manifests in me talking. Like, just this last week, there were several times when I said to myself, why did I say that?
Goes up.
Well, and I think that I'm trying to control the situation. I'm trying to be funny, or I'm trying to... When I think if I felt safer, or safer with myself, or more... confident or whatever that looks like, that I wouldn't have to speak. I wouldn't have to say that, or I don't know.
You know, the Tao Te Ching, and so this is a good one for me, okay? The one who knows doesn't speak, and the one who speaks doesn't know.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a teacher. Darn. But no, but there's a truth in that, you
and
know?
I say that to my, why did I say that? Why did I do that? So I'm sort of recognizing it. Where my problem lies is doing something about it, you know, sort of not doing it the next time.
You know,
I don't know if that's a question or
well,
I don't want to
I will actually add something to this, you know. We're so disembodied as a culture, and we go so quickly up into our heads to speak. If you could actually be in your body and speak connected, then you would actually, it's interesting because the body itself, it's really this alignment that you need to have, which is between the mind, the heart, and the body. They have to line up. And then what's being kind of presented is true. You know, but a lot of times, what do? We go up, and then we think we have to accommodate.
Right.
You know, and it's that accommodation. And that if you are trying to accommodate, you're gonna go up, and you're going to become afraid. Do you follow this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll become afraid. It's like, oh, part of me is not here. You know, and so there's this whole training of to be here is to be totally comfortable and feel safe. And it's easy if you want to impress someone or if you want to, you know, you're gonna fall out of yourself, you know, and then you're gonna scare yourself. So I wanna read this again, if I can. Oh, yeah, they're so... Okay, if you... Yeah, that's true. I looked out into the emptiness. It seemed so complex and serious. I forgot about myself. What's all this fuss about, trying to rationalize the unfathomable, yet relaxing in some deep place? I fell apart only to reveal a shining Buddha with nothing left but a big heart in this complex world. Spirit world always close at hand. A world where honoring the unseen brings reverence and humility to the forefront. Dropping everything, one venture into the world of the senses, where eyes see through the surface of things. sounds, little blips on the surface of the universal hum, desperately and hopelessly trying to figure it all out. Yes, my friend, we have come to the end of the world. Now, spirit and world are one. Relaxing with this sensitivity, we adventure out into this wide, wide world, free from a solid of idea of who we are, how things are, and what we supposedly know. Yes, a great mystery is unfolding, giving us a heart for all things known and unknown. So I want you just to take a moment just to kind of just, you know, a lot of times we use phrases and stuff in this loving kindness. I want you just to kind of feel. Feel first your own heart. It's a good heart, you know. You've been walking around with this all the time, you know. And of course, when fear comes, we kind of separate out, you know. So just to feel your good heart, you know. And then just to feel your body and your breath and know that these senses and the thinking and the imagining and the planning and the controlling, all of it, it's okay, you know. So you relax into this heart. And then you can expand out. It's kind of like a stone falling in the center of a clear forest pool. And it simply then ripples out. And so from this good heart, this through this body and on out, front of you, behind you, to each side of you. I have my phrases, you know. Simply goes, may I live with an open heart. May whatever covers my heart be dissolved. May I live with an open heart. May whatever covers my heart be dissolved. Just like a stone hitting the center, rippling out. So the person to the right of you, to the left of you, in front of you, behind you, out through the first this community, the Sangha here, and to really honor the intentions that everyone has. And then beyond the confines of these walls out into the larger community, that we extend this wish that beings may be, first, be safe, and that they may be at peace, and that they may be healthy in their bodies and their hearts and minds, and that they may find ease of being. And then we just extend all of that out to a world that's so full of suffering. And again, whatever kind of merit or energy or power that is created through our coming together like this, that we extend it out, that beings within our families and friends and co-workers, etc., that they will benefit from our time here. May all beings everywhere, everywhere be happy. So I wanted to just say a little bit about Sim, because I think, you know, being one of the first teachers at Spirit Rock, now I'm emeritus. That means I don't have to go to meetings anymore. You know, after 25 years of meetings, and now going down the Bay Area, I think I would probably, I don't know, I want a helicopter. But, you know, it's a big deal having this center, you know, and I hope you understand the responsibility of kind of supporting how I have a center. I know how it works. Unfortunately, I sometimes I want to kick myself, but it, you know, it's okay. You know, this is such a lovely thing to have for others. So in a way, I always think it's like, you know, somehow, you know, however you support this, whether it's coming on, what's it, this Sunday to kind of clean up around and do all this stuff here, you know, or a financial contribution or whatever. You know, there's that thing of pay it forward. So, you know, there's a whole community that you don't know or will may never know that's part of how this will be passed on. Maybe another thing, you know, there were women in Burma. You know, there usually the life is based on a tree, you know, their village tree, and you know, I love the Nepali women that they always, when they reach puberty, they're married to the tree because they know the tree will always be there, you know. That's terrible, John. But you know, this whole thing of there were women who centuries ago would go and give offerings to be born during this time, you know. And it was talked about as in the land of the red man, that the Dharma would come and find its home and its roots. And we are part of that. You know, we're part of something that's, you know, it may not seem like a lot, but it's a big deal that this is now coming and finding its roots in, you know, this crazy culture, you know. So anyway, I wanted to just add that because I think it's a really big deal, you know. So who knows, maybe centuries ago you went, oh, you know, I want to be born when the teachings are, you know, strong and good. How's that? All right. Thank you.